How funny is that, dude?
Holy fuck, yo, man.
Sorry, like, I love animals, but like...
Fuck that bird.
Murder that bird. You have to kill that bird
before it kills you, dude.
What's wrong?
This is a matter of survival, not animal rights.
Yeah.
I co-sign murdering that bird.
Yeah.
What's wrong? That's not so bad. I'm not gonna hurt you. That wasn't bad.
You're gonna bite me.
No. I would never.
It does not say I would never.
I would never.
Oh, fuck.
Yo, fucking birds, man. Birds are scary, dude.
Dude,
quick short story. My dog never doesn't go outside anymore because a turkey vulture tried to carry her away. Now she refuses to go for walks.
Oh, holy fuck.
Zoe?
Yeah.
Wow.
A turkey vulture. I don't know if it tried to carry her away or like just went to go bite at her, but now she comes, she stands on the front porch, and I'm like, let's go. And as soon as I say let's go, she goes... Every time, dude.
Oh my god.
She won't leave the porch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I was attacked by a turkey vulture, I'd probably look outside up in the sky.
Those things are disgusting. Yeah. Too. Honestly, fuck a bird.
Literally, man.
Fuck birds. Yeah. Eat them and fish and leave all the other animals.
Hey. I could back that.
You know what I mean?
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the dumb ones. All right. Anyways.
You're laughing right through that thing.
Hey, both.
And welcome back to Anime Shmanime, where we're probably about to get a phone call from PETA.
I'm not sorry.
Hey, you know who's that parrot? You know who that parrot is? It's Kisaki.
I would never.
Me?
Yeah. I'm not going to hurt you. I would never.
Fuck Kisaki. Fuck that guy.
So bad.
And Mikey was finally just like, no, see? That's why.
That's exactly why.
This is why.
I think we just need some time apart before we...
Literally, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. See, in this instance, murder is okay. It is for the greater good.
Murder the parrot, murder Kisaki.
Yeah, and we're good. We've saved humanity.
Tokyo Revengers.
Speaking of saving humanity, we're here.
Season two, baby.
Season two of Tokyo Revengers. Yeah. That's right, guys.
Yeah.
Gosh, this show just gives me life.
Honestly, it's just, you asked me how I liked it, and my answer earlier was, I don't think you cannot like it.
Yeah.
And show me the person who doesn't like it, and I want to know why.
That's a good point. I don't know who doesn't like this show.
I heard some complaints this season, just as far as it being a little drawn out in the church.
Yeah, so I've heard
the main fight with
a little Dragon Ball Z-ish.
A little bit.
But also the animation quality went down a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know if it went down, but it didn't get any better. And I thought it would.
Yeah.
I thought, like Mikey was saying as well, like off camera, like, you know, season two, like, should have had all the budget and hype and all the reason in the world to get a step up. But I think, like, they kind of just went the same.
Yeah.
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 A lot of off-model character drawings, but, like, a few good, like, key frames here and there as well.
Yeah, I'd say.
But the other thing, too, this is one of the biggest controversies that started the Disney talk that we had, right? Like Tokyo Revengers being on Disney and Disney like streaming services.
That was a big get for them, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a huge get. Are you kidding me? Like this is probably one of the biggest animes as far as like the current meta goes.
So here's the thing. Was it on Disney Plus when I could have watched this?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I didn't find it. I didn't look. Maybe I didn't look.
Yeah, no,
that's probably what happened. Is you just didn't fucking look, jackass.
It's off of Crunchyroll.
Well, hey, I didn't support Disney on this one. I watched it elsewhere.
Hey.
Yes.
We don't need to say where.
I watched it on Disney, so it cancels out.
I watched it in a very legal and safe place.
Yes.
Yes. Do as I say, not as I do, kids.
Yes.
But I think we also got to the bottom of that conversation that it was, you know, your concerns were more so about accessibility for people as opposed to it affecting the quality of the show, right? And I think that would be sad for me, is to think that there were people out there who, you know, didn't get a chance to watch this because, you know, it's behind a paywall and
another
paywall that, you know, maybe if somebody even does have Crunchyroll and they can't afford Disney Plus.
Yes.
Well, now they have to get both.
Yeah. Well, if those people are listening, I know of a very safe and free
and legal,
legal. Let's say legal way. If you're watching,
yeah,
I did air quotes.
Slip into Jordy's DMs at reaching in. Yeah, and he'll tell you the site.
Yeah,
guys, it's just fucking Zorro TO.
Whoa,
Mikey, I would never
bleep that.
Yeah,
you better bleep that.
I'm not fucking bleeping anything.
I would never.
The people fucking know already.
Yeah. All right. All right.
My gosh.
Okay. wow. And cut that out of the episode. Okay. I do have a little complaint a little bit, and it's by no means a deal breaker or ruins this show, but like we're starting to see a formula.
Mm.
It's only season two. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a formula come around that it's like makes me nervous.
Yep.
So like basically Takemichi, someone he loves is murdered, usually Hinata. Or some gang members, right? He resolves to fix it with some vague plan. He goes back in time.
The vaguest plan.
So vague. He goes back in time and is very confused and have to figure out what's going on. He muddles his way through his plan.
Stumbles.
Air quotes again there.
He finds the solution by a miracle every time.
And there's always, hold on, there's always an enemy gang that Kisaki's involved in.
Yes.
Okay. And then at some point he thinks he's fixed everything. He jumps back to the present, and it's worse.
Yeah, like really bad
this
time.
And that's happened a bunch of times now.
Yeah.
And I'm a little nervous that's going to keep happening. In fact, they already introed you the next bad gang that Kisaki's involved in at the end of the season. And I'm like, it's just happening, going to happen again.
Yes, and it's going to be amazing. I feel good about this one.
I agree that it's going to be amazing. Yeah. I don't doubt that each season is going to be great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like with this particular season, this particular gang, it just felt kind of like a little bit of a throwaway as far as the gang goes. It's still a cool gang fight, right? And developing Takemichi's relationship with Chifuyu, and
totally
right. You know what I mean?
Bromance,
dude.
I also love those guys.
Chifuyu is best of boy.
Well,
he's the best of boy.
He's the best friend you could hope for.
They're second gen Mikey and Draken.
Yeah, basically.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
100%. But
Dumber.
Dumber. Not as tough. They're both kind of Mikey-ish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not really a Draken in there.
But tenacity, determination.
Yeah. For sure.
Leadership skills.
Like the tenacity saves all.
Yeah.
Never giving up. Don't back down.
Yeah.
Right? These are my friends.
Totally.
Takemichi is not lacking in any of those things.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
What this formula opens the door for, though, is for each jump back in time to be its own new thing. Do you know what I mean? And of course, there's throughways throughout all these timelines or wherever he ends up. But like each one is this one was completely separate from season one.
Yeah.
Completely separate.
Yeah.
And I kind of appreciate that. They get to reset.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. And I think there's some commonalities, right? Where like in every time he goes to the future, there's some mystery about where Mikey is.
Yeah.
What's going on with Mikey.
Yes.
And it's the fact that at some point Mikey changed.
Yeah.
Something happened with Mikey that changed him, where that's where Toman went astray.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the commonality, the common thread every single time he goes to the future. The circumstances of what's going on changes, and some of the other influences change. This time, he gets fucking brought right into Mitsuya's fucking funeral.
Yeah.
Like, that was heavy as fuck, right? But, like, that was something that you never saw in any of the previous timelines. That was new and fresh and a new way for them to gut punch you. Super effective. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think.
Yeah.
Dude. The last episode is such a good fucking episode.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, I think cool formulaic shit that's coming up that I'm seeing them repeat that I like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get the fear of the formula of a new gang.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And I think as I was reading the manga on this one, I was worrying about the same thing as well.
Yeah.
And on my recollection of these things, some of the storylines and gang names and gang members start to blur together, and I forget who is in what. And you know, I even had a famous blunder on our Anime North episode where we met all of our Tokyo Revengers pals,
our homies,
right? And I called them Tenjiku.
Oh yeah, that's
but
right.
They were brahmin. But
yeah,
they were right?
Brahmin. Yeah,
but
yeah.
At the time, I was like so just like in the midst of everything. Yeah. I was like, "Fuck, they're all the same gang."
There's so many yeah. people and names. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So like, but even for me, who was in like the thick of reading it, like mega
even
fan,
you got confused.
I confused the names. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, this shit's is definitely gonna happen. But I think the important thing here is that, through this introduction of new gangs, there's always, of course, the potential that the characters they're gonna introduce are impactful
yeah.
and aren't throwaways
right.
and aren't going to be a single season, single fight, done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think we can basically all agree we're basically done with Shiba Taiju.
Oh, I think
well,
so.
Well, yeah. But, and then like you were saying too, where the whole reason for this particular arc is because, what's his name? The little brother with
Hakai.
Blue hair. Hakai. Like he,
hot guy.
Hot guy.
Hot guy. Hot guy.
all my notes call him hot guy.
I hot guy. Yeah. It was for him to be reformed, right?
Well, yeah, for their family to heal.
Yeah. But it was not only just that, but in the original future timeline before Takemichi came back to that particular moment for this arc, right?
Hakai was bad.
Hakai was bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So he was part of the bad future Toman.
That's
yeah.
right.
He was at the table.
That's
yes.
right.
Yeah. Right? So it was all about kind of also
saving
fixing
Hakai.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, I right. agree. Yeah.
So ultimately, I do kind of feel the one formula that I feel like is going to happen, less so than the, you know, the gang of the week, is more so saving the buddy of the week. Is what I feel like is going to happen until the end, where like he's just going to, I don't know why he just didn't fucking do this in the first place. If I went back in time and had an opportunity to redo my entire life, like, why wouldn't you just stick it all the way through so that you don't have to fucking go back to the future, so that you know you made sure that your fucking Toman gang is going to be it?
It's a very interesting point, because we know that the present-day Takemichi doesn't have much going on.
Yeah.
Like, why would he want to keep going back there?
Yeah, you can, like, this is literally a second chance at your entire life, right? And also, with Mikey... we find out too that Takemichi is his anchor, mm-hmm. right? The only reason why Mikey went all crazy is because Takemichi wasn't there.
There's more to
there's
it.
There's a
than
connection
that.
With Kisaki as well too. That they
yeah,
keep,
there's
they
a
keep...
lot more to Mikey's story than just
yeah,
Takemichi.
But
you gotta shut your mouth because
yeah,
you know what the fuck's
yeah,
going
you
on.
Know what the fuck's going on.
I,
but like
I
as
do.
Far as like what we saw in this second season,
yeah,
it. Like, he even says, like, at the end, you know, Mikey, like, I killed everybody. There's nothing. I don't feel anything. You know, Takemichi, I need you to do it. When you left, like, you were my brother. I saw you as my brother.
Mm. Right.
Right?
So it's not just Takemichi leaving. It's also the fact that Mikey's brother was murdered.
Yeah.
Well, yes, there's some nuance.
I'm saying there's a lot to Mikey's situation, more than just his dependence on Takemichi. It's the fact that Mikey has attributed Takemichi to be Shinichiro. Like, that's a damaging thing, because Mikey is a damaged human being.
Not to mention, we like the Baji death, which we can't escape, is a massive impact on him and Toman in general, right? So
I think there's layers to Mikey's brokenness, and I think what we're seeing in the show at this point, and this is not spoilers, guys, relax, is you're starting to see this theme of the problems that you run into when people idolize and follow a flawed, broken individual.
Mm-hmm.
The first season, Mikey is held up as this holy being with, you know, thunderous kicks, and nobody fucks with Mikey, and he's the man, and everybody wants to be liked by Mikey and love him, and they want his love, and they want his approval. And in this season, you start to see, like, Mikey's a human, and he has dependencies, and he relies on a lot of people. He relies on people that don't believe they're even worthy of his love. Takemichi is flabbergasted by how important he seems to be to Mikey. He can't believe that. And I think that's a huge key to the fact that Mikey is not this infallible, invincible monster of a gang leader that everybody thinks. He's a human being with fucking flaws and problems and issues. And like, we're seeing some of the problems that come with that, or some of the potential issues that could come with that when you see the future.
Yeah.
And you see what happens when this flawed human being has things fall apart on him. He turns evil.
Yeah.
He kills everybody.
Yeah.
Literally.
I think that's important to note too, that when we talk about like formulas potentially coming to play and like things we're nervous about being too formulaic, the thing that's not formulaic is the fact that the characters are still constantly growing, and that's the anchor of this show is the character growth, right?
Well, we said it in our first season episode where like this feels like a character what was the word that we used? Like an expose on each character. It's not about time travel or Takamichi. It's
for
about
sure. Or even other... really the plot. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is when I talk about a reset, each time he goes back, it resets. The character growth you're seeing and the understanding of those characters and their flaws and their problems, that's not reset.
No.
You know what I mean? That you're still in the thick of that every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the show great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Man. I think the Taiju fight was admittedly drawn out.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that went on too long. I remember reading that in the manga and it not feeling quite as exhausting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that this season was more or less just going to cover that arc, I was a little bit like, oh, wow, that's okay.
Yeah.
They're really going to stretch it then, I guess. And they did. I know a few people kind of lost the story. I kind of in that point got exhausted by that whole fight. But I think fucking Taiju was a really cool character to introduce in this season. I thought he was scary as fuck when he needed to be.
Yeah,
he really brought that like terror factor.
Pure evil.
Yeah.
Psychopath. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you also told me too, though, that they kind of missed the mark on the character design a little bit because Taiju,
his tattoos were missing.
Yeah,
he's generally a more tattooed up guy, but. I think it adds to his kind of fear. But, you know, obviously I think the star of this entire season is Yuzuha.
100%.
Yes.
Without doubt.
I think, like, as far as character intros that have a lasting impression that really kind of, I gave a fuck about them, she's a huge, huge standout. Definitely a character that I'm glad wasn't just a throwaway and didn't just leave at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. Taiju was a piece of shit and I didn't like him and I'm glad he got defeated. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a character that I didn't necessarily want to see walk out the door into the blinding light.
Yeah.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah.
Kind of ending to that character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, I had brought that up before as well, but like, I would just want to caution anybody who's bailing on this show because they're worried that every new character they introduce is going to get a single season send off like Taiju did.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Like that's a happy spoiler that I can give is that like characters do fucking matter in this show.
Mm.
And just because they're disposed of in a single season, like that's not a trap for this show. That's not going to be the same.
I think that if you're watching the show, you must know that because that's not a common. I mean, there's only been two seasons, but like all the other characters we've been introduced to and all the other like big bad guys, like Kisaki was the guy in season one.
Yeah. And Hanma as well.
And Hanma.
Sure, fair enough. Yeah. But we now know that the Kisaki thing, we know that that's a long play.
Oh,
we know
that.
So even if you're going to lose your Taijus and like they're gone, you know you're going to get that. They're going to get you there.
See,
right?
I know that you know the whole thing.
Sure do.
but see, I feel like, you know, Taiju is your quintessential bad boy archetype that gets defeated and then like goes out into the sun, reflects, and he's like going to be a mechanism that comes back out of nowhere and kind of helps save the day. Right.
Maybe.
Like,
Redemption arc is a good classic arc. Yeah. To
right.
Have.
Yeah.
So I
That's
could
a
totally
very
see
diplomatic it. Response, Jay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like I would love to see that. That would be awesome.
For sure.
One thing I'll say to the fact of the drawn outness and the like singularity of this plot line is that compared to season one, we've established that's different. Mm-hmm. Season one was like wild. A lot of shit was going on, a lot of shit to keep track of. This not the same. I as a simpleton found that a little refreshing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm down for another season one type season, but it was really nice to get just one storyline, to not have so many characters to keep track of.
There were three major gang fights in season one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And a bunch of time jumps with like changes, like butterfly effects each time.
Yeah, there's time jumps, there's gang fights, the buildup and aftermath of all of those gang fights.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot. You're right. And
you're also introduced to a lot of characters
Everybody's
that you don't
brand
see
new.
like we're gonna see much later.
Yeah.
Also, right? Let me twice the episode count in season one.
Yes, okay. That's also true. Fair. That's also very true.
I don't remember that, but true.
Yeah, it is yeah. twice the okay.
yeah. yeah, two seasons and basically crammed into one.
Yeah, fair but enough. Like, you know what? If we got like six episodes of you know, the Christmas arc, and then six episodes of like what was gonna happen after you know. Mm-hmm. Takemichi goes back after, you know, watching Mikey die in his hands, right? Like that would have been cool.
You're going to get that. That's just next season.
Well, I know, but it would have been awesome to get that now because then you wouldn't yeah. have that drawn out piece. But because yeah. other thing too, I feel like the studio knows this is a fucking cash cow.
Oh, yeah.
And so because of they that, must. They're probably trying to serialize it in a way where they're just kind of squeezing it out a little bit more.
Could be.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I think they got to get it through at least an arc per season.
Mm-hmm.
And there are like set arcs in this mm-hmm. story. Like, you know, they're denoted usually by the gang they're fighting.
Yeah.
Or the event that kind of takes place. Right?
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the Christmas showdown. This isn't the Black Dragon arc.
Right.
Yeah. Mostly because the Black Dragons have a, you know, far-reaching impact throughout this entire story. Right.
Yeah.
There's no singular Black Dragon arc. Aside from Toman, they're the other gang
yeah.
that mm-hmm. has this constant thread throughout, right?
Yeah.
And I, if I remember correctly, we get a little bit of that background, right, about Shinichiro and the Black Dragons, why Black Dragon exists.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we do get a little bit of that.
I can't recall yeah. when we get to there in the plot. Okay. I'll see my note and I'll remember, but cool. yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think it's the part where, like, you... because there was the two generals, and he was in juvie, and he came out try to revive the Black Dragons.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and someone's like, "Hey, if you want to revive, I know this guy. He's super tough."
Yeah.
And then that guy was Taiju, and Taiju shows up, and he's like, "That's my gang now."
Yeah.
Right, but like, yeah, I guess more so like the origins of Black Dragon, like where yeah. Black Dragon started.
I think you do get that. I can't recall it.
Yeah, so that one was, I think the original gang was beaten by Toman.
So that's all yeah. you guys know? That's
all I don't know anything right okay. now at all.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, cool. The original gang
was... That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, okay. The original gang was beaten by Toman.
Yes.
And they're like, okay.
Well, that's why Toman formed, was yeah. to defend
yeah,
Kazutora against the Black Dragons.
Yes. I remember now.
Yeah, and then that dude was in juvie. I can't remember his name. And then we got this current Black Dragon.
Yeah,
sort of.
Okay.
Well, you just right. got Drake.
We're very smart, and we remember all the things.
I just wanted to know what you guys knew and what you didn't know. Yeah. I couldn't remember what got revealed.
I'm a bad guy to ask that. I don't remember shit. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move along through it now. Is there any Senpai's Corner to this season, specifically this arc? I mean, we've already covered it. If you haven't, guys who are watching, you know,
it's
go back.
The same studio, Leiden, did the exact same thing. But yeah, not really too much of a difference.
Yeah.
Like we were already talked about, it's on Disney.
Yeah. So we're good.
How really, do you guys feel about it being on Disney?
I don't give a shit.
Let them answer.
No, no.
Let them answer.
let our Shweebs answer.
Shut up.
Oh, that's how you feel.
Very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. I see that.
Yeah.
I see that.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. All right.
I don't know if I agree with that point.
Mike, you're a hater. All right. We also don't really need to talk about the world.
Yeah.
We've been over that before. Mm-hmm. The art we covered already. You know what I mean? And once again, I don't really have notes on music. I don't find the music in the show exceptional, but we always say that's a good thing. Yeah. It does its job, right?
It does its job.
All right, let's talk about characters.
I don't even remember the OP song, to be honest. I usually, if it's a good, I guess that's the other thing. If it's a good OP song, I'll remember.
Yeah. It's like a guitar lick like that, I think.
Keep going.
Yeah. How did it go again?
I think I nailed it, actually.
So.
If you guys don't get it, that's on you.
I just need to hear it one more time.
You guys should just learn.
Damn.
I feel like you're playing a banjo or something.
It did sound like a banjo when you sang it. All right. Anyways, we're fucking weird.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start by talking about Takemichi because he's our main guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is the main character. And in this season, what I noticed about him is he is starting to gain respect from everyone in a way that he was not before.
Mm-hmm. Everybody accepts that he's a weakling.
Yeah. But by the end of this season, everybody is like sucking his dick. You know what I mean?
That's a weird way to put it, but
but like a hot guy is like crying in front of him after his like little Jesus-y like pep talk. Yuzuha is impressed by him. Mikey and Draken both like revere him. Even Taiju at the end like says something about how he respects that kid. You know what I mean? Which is bonkers. And not to mention Shifuyu and him have this like they have a dedication to each other. You know what I mean? He's really showing his leadership skills.
Well, it's not just leadership skills with Takemichi. It's the fact that his tenacity and the consistency. Like, we don't understand why this guy isn't giving up.
Yeah,
it's what it represents for all the members is because they all are going through some sort of strife or they're in a situation where they feel hopeless. Yeah. Takemichi is the hope represented for everyone else.
He's Rudy.
He's pretty.
He has heart.
He has heart.
For sure, dude.
You know what I mean?
He has heart.
He's not great. He's not great at the game, but he's the heart and soul of the team. Yeah. Right?
Everybody else is putting their jacket in on the coach's table.
Yeah.
Rudy.
Saying if Rudy's not playing, I'm not playing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like they're kind of building him into this like messiah complex of sorts, the way he's kind of slowly gaining followers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's like going to be number one leader of any gang anytime soon, but like people would follow him.
Well,
you know
but
I mean?
That's his goal, is to actually be the fucking head of Tomon.
It's true. He yells it at you a bunch of times. Yeah.
Right? And I can totally see that happening, because you even see how Mikey, at some point, like when you see him later on at the end there, he talks about how his brother was the same thing. He was a weakling. He didn't know why all these people would like love him and follow him and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, it's because he represents hope.
Yeah.
Right? He wants people, like, they love to see him shine because he is also concerned about everybody else.
Totally. And it's wild, actually, Jay, when you mentioned that Mikey has turned Takemichi into his brother in his eyes. I didn't catch on. I wish I caught on to that more, because now I'm thinking back and I'm seeing all the signs, and it's actually wild.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
And several times other people will even mention it to him and be like, he kind of looks like him, too.
Yeah.
And Mikey's just like, he kind of really does.
You're right. Good point.
You know, like everybody else notices as well how much he seems to give the same vibe as Shinichiro.
Yeah.
And energy. I think Draken actually says it on their bike ride in the snow.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Christmas bike ride.
You know, and then also like there's just a lot of connections, right? Like the bikes as well.
The bike is a big one that happens in this season, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the dude fucking put together a new bike for him.
Yeah.
Right? His brother's bike.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a pretty big gesture.
It's a huge deal. Yeah, it's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big deal. Okay, let's talk about Hot Guy.
Hot Guy.
So he is our new guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's our new guy in the show that we're like, it's his story we're following, more or less, right? Mm-hmm. And he keeps flipping between this like tough protector dude who talks shit and like, you know, gets in fights, but then like he also is a big old coward a lot of the time.
Yeah,
like he can't hack it. Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, it's only with his family, which is funny because usually people with trauma within the family, that happens. We talked about this. We were on the heels of what was our last episode? Paranoia Agent.
Yeah, we recorded that like a couple hours ago. We're all wearing different shirts, you know.
Why you gotta call him out like that, man?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, dude.
But anyway, but for real though, it's the fact that, like, you know, sometimes if you are within a family and you have trauma and then you go back and you're in front of these people who have traumatized you, then you revert back into and like to this like almost infant kind of like state. I shouldn't say infant.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Here's what's weird about that though, with Hot Guy specifically, is at the very beginning of the season, when he first kind of befriends Mikey after the bowling scene and they're walking through the streets.
Takemichi,
that's right. And they run into Taiju, and Taiju's like talking shit and like they're about to fight. He stands up to Taiju in that moment. And like, it's very weird because your first introduction to him is tough guy stands up to his brother. And as the season goes on, you're like, why in that moment was he able to? Mm. And then all future interactions later, he's just like a little baby about it.
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal there? That was hard for me to reconcile.
So I feel like that one was just his way of trying to protect Takemichi because he knew something bad was about to happen.
It
was his one and only chance to be like, yo, you need to get out of here. This is not our neighborhood. We don't own, like, this is not Toman, you know, turf, right?
Yeah.
So that was like his way of like trying to quickly do it.
Yeah.
But he was probably still really scared.
For sure he was. Yeah. And to be fair, in that scene, it's Takemichi who takes a fucking beating.
Yes.
Right? And not Hawkeye.
Well, and Hawkeye didn't actually fight back to protect Takemichi either, right?
No, that's right.
In that moment. So it still kind of tracks.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It does kind of. So the other thing about Hawkeye is he gets this epic growth moment towards the end. A lot of characters do at that end in the church fight. A lot of characters do. But his is big because you don't see him fight.
Nope.
And then he gets this pep talk, the Jesus one. I'm going to keep calling it that because he literally, Takemichi is like talking like Jesus. Yeah. And then Hawkeye kind of steps up and gets in on the fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was a cool moment. You were waiting for that this whole season.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Why?
Hawkeye is so funny to me.
The other growth he does in this season is a lot of what his plans are is just murder.
Yes.
The whole season, all he wants to do is murder his brother, which is also kind of a coward move when you're in a gang that fights.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's just going to sneak around and stab his brother in the back or something and not stand up to him.
Well, in Hawkeye's defense, like it wasn't really a gang related thing for him.
You're right.
Right. Fair. It wasn't Toman versus it was Black Dragon. It was him versus his brother and knowing that he had to be protected by his sister, even though he's saying that I'm the protector in the family.
Yeah.
Right. And so the only way he knew how to, or the only escape that he saw was I got to get rid of his brother or my brother, right?
Yeah.
And how do I do that? I fucking kill him.
Yeah,
I think Hawkeye just knew he couldn't take him like any other way.
Yeah. For sure, he knew
the only
him.
Way to take him out is
murder,
straight up.
Yeah,
sneaky murder.
Yeah.
Only way.
And then in the end, it was the fellowship and the gang and the
fellowship
commitment
the
together.
Rings.
It was the three of them. It was Chifuyu and Takemichi and Hawkeye who in the end band together to take him down. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was that.
Well, I mean, Kisaki was there too, and the fucking Hanma was there too.
Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Taiju, who is, you know, the new badass bad guy.
Yeah.
He's huge, you know what I mean? Tough as shit, but he's like a pretty bad leader because he leads only by fear.
Yeah,
he's
your fascist militant leader, right?
Yeah, no one really believes in him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just follow him.
Well, he even aesthetically with their uniforms is very much so reminiscent of, you know, World War II.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true. I don't know what else to say about Taiju specifically. He kind of is just like a very like archetypal character.
Yeah,
you know
he was kind of really one note for me.
But it was important to the show and the plot to have him be that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Especially when in the end he gets taken down. Mm-hmm. You needed him not to be something else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the growth was really for Hawkeye and... what's his sister's name again?
Yuzuha,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yuzuha is best girl.
Yeah. I think it was nice for them to also establish that like the biggest, baddest guy isn't necessarily going to just win.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or take over because he's the biggest, baddest, scariest guy.
Well, the show is about leadership and how you can rally a gang and how you can rally your friends and, you know, uplift each other and work together. And it's like brilliant to have a guy who's the leader of a gang and watch his gang fall apart around him because he can't do that.
Yeah.
You know what
is
I mean?
that what the show's about? It's not about fucking trying to save his girlfriend.
I mean, that's what the plot is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like the enjoyment of the show and like the deeper level of the show is watching a guy, Takemichi, learn how to be a leader of a gang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And learn how to rally his friends.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Taiju couldn't do that. And like you really saw that on display. And it was, like I said, it was just nice for them to kind of establish like this is what's going to work and this isn't what's going to work. Because prior to this, it was just whoever could kick harder or swing a fucking lead pipe harder at somebody.
Yeah.
That's what won people gang wars up to this point. This time, it wasn't that. It was more than that. It's
Toman who changed that.
I was going to say it was loyalty. It was dedication. It was organization. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't just wanton violence that won it.
Yeah, which is why I think the Toman forming to fight against Black Dragon makes so much sense for Toman being who they are. Right. They are the gang that values leadership and friendship and brotherhood, you know what I mean, and all those things, versus all these gangs that just beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, it's the whole, like, you know, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb kind of thing.
Yeah, it is like that.
I don't know what that means.
Me either. I have no idea what you're saying.
You guys don't remember? So, okay, so you guys know what blood, like, blood is thicker than water. Right?
I know that one.
You know that one, but that's actually not what the real quote is. The real quote is what I said, because the whole idea is that the chosen family is stronger than, you know, your born family because you chose them.
Interesting.
I like it.
Right?
It just took me a minute.
I'm pro it.
I like it. It just took me a minute to figure out. You used big words. I had to make them make sense.
Also, rewind. I think somebody said it earlier, but the gang that Toman fights, the Black Dragons, when Toman first forms to fight the Black Dragons, they're fighting the ninth generation.
Right. They've been around for a long
time. They've been around for a long time.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Thugs.
Thugs.
They've just been fucking people up.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Like they're like one of the oldest gangs basically going in Japan.
Yeah. So that's what kind of also got them their notoriety, right? Yeah, because, you know, they took out an OG.
Yeah.
Right. The Toman also likes and subscribes to us.
Wow. All of them, they do. I know.
We know a few of them personally, actually.
Baji for sure does.
Baji for sure does.
From the grave.
Yeah, from the grave. I mean, Kazutora.
Yeah.
Yeah, does too. Yeah. I mean, he kind of got, gave Takamichi some info. But yes, like and subscribe.
But yes, like, be like Toman, like and subscribe us.
Yeah, give us a review if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Join our gang in the Discord.
Yeah, the Shmanime gang, the Shweeb gang. We are Shweebs.
All right.
Okay, love you.
There's one more character I want to talk about, and that's Yuzuha, of course.
Yes.
Because she's the other new character who we now love by the end of this season.
Yes.
She's the first, maybe I'm wrong, strong female character in the show. Have we had one before?
Well, to her strength. Like, her level of strength is really, really up there.
Who
as
else,
far
though, aside from Emma and Hinata?
So, yeah, Emma would be the other one that I kind of feel like is a strong female lead.
Sure, yeah.
But, like,
I don't know about lead.
No, sorry, not lead. I should. That's a bad word to use.
Fair, but Yuzuha. Yeah,
but Yuzuha would be a lead, right?
For sure.
Right, so, but Emma also has a very strong personality.
Sure,
yeah.
Fair enough.
I would just say though, 10 times out of 10, I'm taking Yuzuha in that fight.
Which fight?
Yuzuha and Emma.
That's not even a question.
Yeah,
I'm 100%. Just saying. Oh my God. Emma might be fucking Mikey's sister, but like
Yuzuha has been taking it from Taiju since the day she was born.
I was gonna say, for real. I wasn't talking about physical strength. I was just talking about more personality, strong, like
integrity.
Sure. What I mean?
I will say that I wanted more from Yuzuha, to be honest with you. I wanted her to be a more prominent character. They slow played her because they made Hot Guy the main attraction for the first half of the season before you realize what their lives really were like. And then you're like, oh, actually it was her. And I'm like, oh, I feel like you robbed me of a chance to have her be the main thing the whole time. Mm. You know what I mean?
I don't know about that. I don't.
What's that?
I think it was worth it to get that twist.
I hope there's more of her coming up. It would be a shame, like you said, if we had that big buildup, like you say about losing characters. It would be a shame if we don't get a follow through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's good shit.
Yeah. Well, I hope she comes up again, like, and is just a main part of the Toman gang or crew.
Yeah.
Because, like, but we also know that from the first season where we saw Hawkeye, like it was going to be about him predominantly.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the fact that he lied.
Yeah.
Right? This is what we're seeing.
Yeah.
And that's what's playing out. And then she had to come in and be like, yo. And it's not really what happened.
Yeah, because not only has he been lying, but he's also been internalizing the fact that he's a fucking coward his whole life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's been living with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Letting his sister get smashed in the head by Lil Slugger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That ripple effect of not dealing with your shit.
Yeah.
Affecting other people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
That other episode like we that? Filmed yesterday with like a different set of clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paranoia agent. Go watch that episode.
Yeah.
You like how I did that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
Yours are good. You're good
welcome.
At that.
You're welcome.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you like how
do
I
you
did
like that?
That? Okay, let's get into the plot of the show.
Yes, let's go.
We start off in the future or present. I never know what to call it. We'll call it the future because it's a future and a past. So we start off in the future, and it's Kisaki face-to-face with Takemichi, and Kisaki says, "So long, my hero," and shoots him in the leg.
Yeah.
And then someone runs in and saves him. It looks like Baji.
It sure does.
Takemichi goes, "Baji?" But it's not Baji.
No.
It's Kazutora, who comes in, saves the day, doesn't kill Kisaki. Kisaki gets away, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The future timeline, we'll get to that when it gets to it. But he beats the fuck out of Takemichi and blames Takemichi for fucking Tomon up, which is very odd because I don't know why that's all going down. Because in this timeline, we don't know what's,
that's
we don't know what's happened
yet.
That's
the one thing I really wish that they kind of addressed a little bit more is the fact that there is a memory gap.
Yeah.
Right? When he goes back to the future, he doesn't remember anything from that point that he jumped.
Same when he goes into the past. It's because he is the through line.
Yeah.
He is the same guy each time.
Yes.
Everybody else has their memories reset. Naoto even mentions it.
Yeah.
But he's always same brain. You know what I mean?
Well, no, there's his present brain, and then there's the brain he's leaving behind.
Yes.
Oh, you're right. I guess when he leaves, that brain...
So when he's in the future, so,
Bro, you're fucking my head up now.
Listen,
okay.
when he goes to the past, his future self, fucking out.
Autopilot.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like he's not in that brain. That guy is just going through life with like a base level Takemichi.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And same when he goes to the future, his past self is still going through life like an asshole. That's how he ends up in bed with Emma that one time.
Yeah.
That was asshole Takemichi.
Yeah.
Just on autopilot.
How cool would it be if there was literally only ever two Takemichis and they're just jumping back and forth and there's an alternate timeline of this whole show of the other brain and what it's experiencing?
That would be wild.
Spin off idea.
We're following one Takemichi.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The holy Takemichi, we could call him. The sacred Takemichi.
The Messiah.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah, Takemichi 1.
Yeah.
The first.
Yeah.
Okay, so we learn in the future present that Mikey is having Kisaki kill all these old Tomon members. And they're in a gang called Black Dragon in this present future. And Black Dragon's like super corrupt and all they really care about is money. It's not what anybody ever thought Mikey would be involved in.
That wasn't the original dream.
Right. In this timeline also, Kisaki had Hinata killed again, but this time he actually had Takemichi unknowingly give the order, which is some psychotic shit.
Yep.
Some psychotic shit.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they need to address that. I feel like they need to address that more. Or flesh it out just a little bit more.
Like so how they got there?
Yeah. Like in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the future.
I think, though, what they're trying to give you, though, is you're getting what Takemichi's getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the information you have at hand is whatever he's waking up into.
Yeah.
That's how much you know as well. Yeah.
All the timelines.
So you feel like you're right there with him.
That's true. That's true.
And any knowledge that we have of the spaces between the time jumps, the future and the past, we only know Takemichi's first memory of the first timeline.
Yes.
He has that, but all other subsequent timelines, he doesn't remember because he's that guy jumping back and forth.
I think I'm just being greedy. I just really want to know.
No, you're right. It is frustrating. And like, it must be very frustrating for Takemichi as well to not fucking know. And every time he goes back, like, he needs either an idiot. Well, that's the thing. He either needs Naoto to fill in the fucking gaps or somebody else somehow. Like, he gets pulled into a fucking business meeting.
Yeah.
And now he's at this table with all these evil black dragons last season. Yeah. And now that's how he's trying to piece that So you're there with him, and it's frustrating, and it sucks, but it's like, at least you're just getting what he's getting. You're not getting more than what he's getting.
It would be harder to follow and much more confusing and probably frustrating if you were getting more, because you're really just watching him in his timeline.
You don't necessarily want to know more than he does.
I mean, you're curious,
but I
think the show would suffer if they were trying to give you that as well.
More fun to find out as Takemichi finds out, in my opinion.
I agree.
He's our guy. Yeah. He's the one we're connected to at the hip through this whole show. We want to find things out.
Okay, fine. You make a good point.
I just think that's got the impact. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I think it does.
Mikey, what my daughter would say is you get what you get and you don't get upset.
Oh.
Okay.
Wisdom from Eva.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay. So in the future present, Chifuyu and Kazutora are working with Naoto on some police shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're like informants or whatever. I don't know. They're working together. Then Naoto double crosses them and arrests Takemichi. And Kazutora is rattled about it. Mm-hmm. He's not happy. But it's a false double cross, though, because he gets in a room. Naoto and Takamichi gets in a room, and we know that they know what's going on. Yes. So they're then Naoto's now filling him in on all the Hisoki, Hina shit, all the craziness, right? Mm-hmm. And it's weird. They establish that it's a little odd that Kisaki is always killing Hina in every timeline. Like, there's something fishy about that. Mm-hmm. And that actually firms Takemichi's resolve again. Mm-hmm. And we go back in time again with a new mission, mm-hmm. which he again loudly speaks into the camera for us. You know what I mean? As if he's slamming a fist on a table every time.
I mean, it's
I'm gonna go back in time, and I'm gonna save her again.
It's that typical like shonen thing to do, right? Yeah. Like that shonen style MC thing. Like, yeah. You know, you have fucking Naruto do it. You have like. Asta, like they always yell and scream about
his plan.
Their resolves.
Exactly. Yeah. He's always yelling his resolve. I kind of love it. It's cute.
And then very luckily for Takemichi, Naoto urges him, you better go back in time because you're about to go to jail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's
get out of here now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let your autopilot do the jail time.
Yeah. You don't have to do jail time. Yeah.
You take off.
And then they shake hands because that's the mechanism they never explained, but... Mm-hmm. This is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So now we're back in time, and cutie blonde Takemichi is bowling with Hina. Mm-hmm. Cute as hell. And this is kind of always fucked. We talked about this before. We don't have to spend a lot of time in it. But, like, grown man brain Takemichi is always really stoked to be dating young childhood Hina every time he goes back.
Yeah.
He's always having a great time.
Yeah, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that.
Okay. Okay, so they're bowling next to this blue-haired Black Dragon member, hot guy. And in this timeline, he's a vice captain in Tomon. Mm-hmm. And instantly, they're best buds. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, like, immediately, like, come on, let's go. And I don't even know what they do. They just go for a walk. They walk. Literally, they go for a walk.
No, Hakai invites him over to his house.
Yeah.
He's like, come over to my place.
That's
right. Come hang out. Because you know what I think it is that Hakai was, saw Takemichi, and he kind of looked at it. They played some bowling or whatever, but he kind of got a kick out of him.
Yeah, and you have to assume they know of each other in this timeline, too. Yeah. I don't know if they've met or not, but they're both Tomon members, right? They know of each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on their little walk back to the house, they run into the Black Dragons, and Hawkeye's older brother, Taiju, is their leader. Many face punches here in this scene, mm-hmm. a lot of them. We meet Yuzuha, who's also tough as nails. Or sorry, we met her. They were bowling together.
Yeah, they were bowling together.
She's also tough as nails. Taiju orders Hawkeye to beat Takemichi to death.
Yeah,
that's a big moment. And then Hawkeye actually says, no, I'll make you a deal. I'll quit Tomon and join Black Dragon if you let Takemichi go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll jump ship right now because I know you've always wanted me in your gang or whatever, right? Yeah.
Also, a quick shout out to Yuzuha's intro because that fucking spinning kick that she does out of nowhere was fucking.
That was
wasn't
badass.
Really her intro, but like it was her intro. Yeah, let's be real. You saw her at the bowling alley,
That's when you realize she's tough as shit. Up until then, you just thought she was kind of like a little mouthy, maybe.
Yeah. But we also get an intro as well, really quick to Coco and Inui as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Who are big players?
Are they? Yeah. A little bit in this. They become bigger players?
Well, they were pretty big players already.
They're running Black Dragon now.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Right? Not to mention, like, he gives up information through a bribe. Like, and then double-crosses them. Like, that's a pretty fucking big thing.
By the end of the story, though, they're, for all intents and purposes, they're more or less Tomon members.
Yes.
Yeah. That's true.
Black Dragon's under Tomon, and they're the leaders of Tomon, so they're basically on our side now.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Yeah.
And
that's
they
true.
Only want to be under Takemichi.
I know, yeah. Right? Yeah. Which is interesting.
Uh-huh. Well, they saw a lot.
Yeah, they did.
I don't blame them.
No, true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got heart.
Yeah.
He's Rudy. You know what I mean? He's Rudy.
Yeah,
Rudy make a really good coach.
and spoiler alert, Coco and Inui are not one-dimensional characters.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I will just say that.
Okay, so in this first fight, Takemichi gets his ass fucking kicked. Mm-hmm. He ends up in the hospital, and he's there, and all his original little crew are there, his first crew, his homies.
Yeah,
remember?
His homies.
And we love them.
Yeah.
And Chifuyu is also there, and he gets out of the hospital. He's hanging out with Chifuyu, and he just, like, barfs everything on Chifuyu. He tells him everything. Yeah. I've been time traveling. I know everything that's going on in the future, and Chifuyu is super casual about it. He's like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
I get it. His response is, wow, I can't believe I got killed by Kisaki.
Yeah.
That's his only reaction.
This is one of the most lovable things about Shifuyu, I think, is that he's just so dumb. He's like a puppy.
Yeah.
He's like a stupid puppy.
He's just lucky no one's playing him.
He takes everything at face value,
yeah,
and he doesn't think too deeply on really anything. except being there for his pals.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's just this puppy dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of the time, dude. Yeah. It's fucking adorable, man.
So,
well, I wouldn't go as far as saying he's a puppy dog because he does kind of like think through a little bit more than like Takamichi does.
Puppies are really loyal. Well, let's talk about him thinking things through because in a minute here, we got a meeting of the Tokyo Manji gang leaders real quick right after this, which by the way, fuck yeah to see those guys in a room together. I love that shit. And they're trying. He and Takamichi are trying to, you know, propose this plan to keep Hot Guy from quitting and to keep them all together. And the plan A that Chifuyu comes up with is cake. That's his plan.
Okay, bye.
Cake.
Okay, yeah.
I don't need to argue it. The story just tells it for me.
Yeah.
He's kind of dumb. Yeah, like it's his character.
Yeah.
He's kind of.
You know, he's
kind
not
of
dumb. He's endearing.
He's both.
Both.
He's, yeah.
He's both. You can be both.
Yeah.
You can be both.
It does both.
Yeah.
But it's, you know what, though? When that moment when, like, Takamichi was fucking spilling all the tea, like, that was when I, like, really fell in love with Chifuyu.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. It cemented them as a duo, to be honest with you. It cemented them.
Well, it also just cemented, like, Chifuyu's real role in all of this. Right?
He's the drop into Takamichi's Mikey.
Yeah, like the loyalty and like his, because he's the one that really, because Takamichi needs an anchor too.
Yeah.
Right? And I think Chifuyu is the one who anchors Takamichi and be like, hey, you need to slow down and kind of plan this out a little bit.
And what a cool mechanism going forward. We only saw one big time jump here, but now when he time jumps again, Chifuyu gets to know.
Yes.
He gets to know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I definitely think, like, we shouldn't overlook, like, the massive amount of, you know, character establishment Chifuyu got in season one with his relationship with Baji.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because literally from the first moment you see Chifuyu, he's being the ultimate bro.
Yeah.
And making one of the most insane sacrifices I've seen, literally getting beat to a bloody pulp in order to allow his buddy to execute on this plan. Like, he has been that loyal bro.
Yeah.
From the fucking first time you saw this guy.
Which is another reason he and Takamichi are such a good pair, because they both have that in common.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adorable.
Bros.
Yeah.
Best bros.
Best bros.
Okay.
Best of friendo.
So, Taka, who I always call him that in my notes, Mitsuya.
Yeah,
right? Mitsuya.
It's going to be hard for me to remember which name to call people.
To be honest, this season, because the Shibas are so close with
Mitsuya,
they call him Taka a lot.
That's why that ended up in my notes. Anyways, he meets with Taiju to discuss Hot Guy's swap, and he demands Yuzuha's freedom and safety, or regardless, it's war. He's like, she's safe from all this, or it's fucking war.
Yeah.
Which is like, it shows his loyalty to their family outside of gang shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is interesting.
And it also starts to sprinkle in this little thread they try to lead you on.
Yeah.
To establish Mitsuya and Yuzuha as a thing.
You think
as
so?
As like an item.
Okay.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And then they fucking twist it at the end on you really nicely, which isn't.
I do remember that actually. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is one of the first times that you see like, oh, wow, they're trying to really make them a thing. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could ship them though.
Sure.
I think you're supposed to.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Yeah, through their story, you want to. But then she's like, pulls fucking brother card on
them. It is a little bit like that too, though, which makes it weird.
It is. Yeah. It is.
I mean, sister complexes are fucking common in anime, right? So.
Yeah. Gross. Gross.
So let the silence take care of that one.
Yeah. Mikey's like, it's all right, right? Like in anime when we watch it and enjoy it, right? Okay, so
we were having a conversation about this in one of our earlier episodes about there's this new anime, like pretty much about that. It's another isekai.
Don't make me watch it. Okay, so in this scene also they form a truce, Black Dragon and Tomon. They're not gonna fight each other for a little while. That's the deal, okay? We get the backstory on Mitsuya, who like is a parent to his siblings and then takes Hot Guy under his wing, and he's just a solid good dude. You know what I mean? From a young age. And we also learn in this backstory scene that Taiju's been beating the shit out of Hot Guy and Yuzuha since they were kids. And this is when we find out Hot Guy's like, I'm going to murder him.
Yeah.
He's dead. Yeah. He's dead to me. And in this moment, Takemichi once again yells his new mission at us. I'm going to stop Hawkeye from murdering his brother, and I'm going to destroy Black Dragon. That's what he yells at us.
The declaration.
Yeah. So he and Shifuyu take their plan to Draken and ask for Toman's help, and Draken's like, no, we can't do that. He's like, A, there's a truce, and B, it's disrespectful to Hawkeye, who's made his plan. You know, he's made his bed. We got to let him sleep in it, so we can't do this to him.
Such a fucking gang member.
Yeah, immediately.
Such gang.
But
thoughts.
Who does want to help? Kisaki immediately is like, hey, I'll help you with that.
I fucking knew it.
We don't need to worry about what Black Dragon and Toman. We'll take care of it.
Yeah,
we
was got like, it. There's Wait, no way that guy wasn't going to double cross them.
Are you guys telling me that you didn't think that Kisaki and Hanma hadn't like just fully changed sides to be good? Are you telling me that you thought that maybe they were still bad?
It didn't help that in this conversation of offering to help, Kisaki like has a hard time keeping down the fact that he has no faith in Mikey and Toman leadership.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. You know what I mean? At all.
Yeah. But he has this weird thing, like weird reverence for Mikey though, right? Like
it's a love-hate thing. I don't know. Anyways, he also, we find out, has a mole in Black Dragon, which is highly sus. You know what I mean? The guy that has a mole might be the mole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Might not be trustable.
Yeah.
Anyways, the mole they're talking to is immediately caught in the act the moment they speak to him. And the dude who catches him is like, oh, actually, I'll help you out with that.
Yeah.
And that's Coco and his buddy or whatever.
Yeah.
And again, they say they're doing it for money because Black Dragon, you know, they have no morals, no moral standings. They find out that Taiju is only without Black Dragon soldiers on Christmas Eve. That's the only time they're going to find him on church. And they're like, oh, well, that's when Hawkeye's going to do the murder. So that's when we'll intervene and try to stop him.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of assumptions being made.
A lot of assumptions. Yeah, exactly.
But it all works out.
I mean, hey. I mean, it works out too because Kisaki has his hand in both pockets and knows that it's going to, they're going to get in that room.
But it's not the fact that, you know, Hawkeye and his brother live in the same house together, and he could possibly try it at home.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Any number of times.
Yeah. That's...
Maybe on his way walking to the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows when? Who knows? Yeah.
But they just nailed the timing. Man.
No, it's going to be at the church on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. It has to be. I mean,
okay. On. So we get another kind of backstory moment here for Kisaki, and there's a Hinata twist in this because Hinata and Kisaki knew each other as kids.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know this before.
Yes.
And Kisaki was like kind of a wiener, but like decent-ish at first.
Nah,
just a little bit of
a
loser.
Snake.
I agree, but at first he wasn't quite yet. We don't know what turned him at this point, right?
He was fucking skeezy and then too.
What he was a fucking coward because it's Takemichi who steps in and saves Hinata and gets his ass kicked for her, and they hit it off. Meanwhile, Kisaki, we know, like, despite being a coward, was into her and wanted to step up for her, but just didn't have it in him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's a coward and then becomes a snake because of his cowardice, essentially.
And you kind of learn the origin of the my hero kind of phrase as well, because that's what, you know, Hina basically said to Takemichi that
day. Exactly.
That was, it was his hero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just the venom in this guy.
And it all comes down to this childhood, like, like,
betrayal, rejection.
But it's not even betrayal. And he didn't do anything to Kisaki.
Yeah,
I know.
He just did a good thing for a person who needed a good thing to be done.
I know.
And Kisaki just can't handle his fucking failure.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. It's the jealousy is really what it comes down to, right?
100%.
It's the jealousy and the inadequacy and the all those like insecurities that really kind of motivate him in that
way. Okay, so Takemichi, we're outside of the flashback, makes Christmas Eve plans with Hina and then remembers, he's like, oh yeah, I break up with her. Why would I fucking do that? I'm not doing that this time. Yeah. And then immediately meets her dad. Immediately after thinking that, meets her dad.
Yeah.
And he basically begs her to break up with him.
Yeah.
Immediately. Right after the thought pops into his head. Yeah. How convenient. He's like, no, you have to break up with her because otherwise, like, how do you see a life for her without this gang shit in her life? And he's like, fuck, I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we fast forward from wherever we are to immediately the 24th. Mm-hmm. He breaks up with her kind of old yellow style.
Yeah.
He's like, go on. I don't love you anymore.
Yeah.
It's really weird how he chooses that. He's like, no, I like someone else.
Yeah.
Go on. Get.
And then he's just saying whatever he can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she beats the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then now.
That was also a badass moment when she beats the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he deserved it.
He did. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
In that moment. Okay, so gangs are now gathering for the Christmas showdown. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we get a sick Baji moment in a flashback, which again is about Shifuyu worshiping Baji, and it's like you have to see Baji in every season, even though he's dead.
Yeah, you gotta give a little bit of an homage. Right?
Side note: I want to say, and Jay, shut the fuck up. But like, there's a lot of hinting to the fact that maybe he's not dead.
Yeah. So yeah, I have a weird feeling about that too.
Don't look at Jay's face.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to look at Jay's face. But like, it just, even on the internet, sometimes I'll
see
something.
Don't go to the internet, Mikey.
Well, I'm always on the fucking internet.
That's where,
man.
Jay is. Jay people talking about it.
But all I'm saying is just, I guess because of the love for Baji is just so strong all around.
Yeah.
You know, even only having such the important arc at the beginning.
You know, he's not.
You know, I'm like, nah, there's got to be something.
Okay, but we won't talk about it anymore because I want Jay to be part of the conversation. Okay, so Shifuyu, who worshipped Baji, now we're back out of the flashback, give us Baji's sash to Takemichi, and together they loudly yell their convictions at each other. And it's like an ultimate bro moment between the two of them. And it means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now it begins. Okay, we're in the church. Takemichi confronts Hot Guy in the church, and then Taiju walks in, and we find out immediately that Kisaki's a piece of shit and told Taiju everything, the plan.
They tied up Shifuyu and they...
And we find out that even though he's supposed to be alone on Christmas Eve, there's Black Dragon members all around outside the church. The whole fucking army's there or whatever. And the fight begins.
Mm-hmm.
Taiju's dominating. Mm-hmm. Just fucking beating the fuck out of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just Takemichi at this point.
Yeah,
he's beating
Takemichi.
Up. And then Yuzuha runs in and stabs him with a knife that Kisaki also gave her and said, you should probably stab your brother.
She tries. She doesn't really pull it off. She stabs him,
but she doesn't get the kill shot.
Yeah. No, the whole thing was that, like, that's when we find out, like, what was really happening and, like...
Yeah.
You know, she also was like, I'm the girl. He's like three times my size.
Yeah. I can't fight him.
I need a weapon.
Yeah.
Right. So
both siblings were like, we're going to kill our brother, but they weren't talking to each other about it.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Pretty much to protect one another.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So after this happens, Taiju's talking a lot of shit. He's like, I'm going to murder you. My sister is like, I don't want to. Why are you making me do this?
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you. And in this moment, Mitsuya shows up. Mm-hmm. And despite the truce, he's like, oh, you said you were going to keep her safe. And now you're going to murder her? It's fucking on.
Yeah.
And so now he's fighting. And he's not part of this little quiet, we're going to stop Hot Guy from killing his brother and betray the truce pact.
Yeah.
He's the, you said Yuzuha would be safe, so I'm going to betray the truce this way kind of guys. Yeah. Everyone's betraying the truce here.
Yep.
It's all happening. Except immediately, he gets fucking smoked in the head with a pipe.
Yeah.
I forget the guy's name.
I think it's Coco?
No, the other one.
Inui.
So yeah. Inui hits him, and Inui goes, death impact, in the dub anyway. And I was like, I guess you have to say the name of the move when you do it.
Iron reversal!
Yeah. Yeah, you have to say it.
It doesn't happen in the dub.
Okay.
The sub, I mean. No.
Death impact.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't happen in the sub.
Wails him in the head. It's intense. I don't know if you guys will ever watch Sons of Anarchy, but it's Opie all over again.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a hard one to watch every time.
That's tough.
Except in this one, he's not dead.
Yeah.
He makes it. But he does sit up and be like, hey, I can't fight anymore.
I'm fucked up.
He's like, clearly,
yeah.
It's on you guys now.
Yeah.
Shifuyu, Takemichi, and Hot Guy have to fight. Hot Guy's not able to.
Mm-hmm.
Takemichi's in there getting a beating.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, screaming his convictions, I'm going to beat you and take over Black Dragon. He yells at Taiju. I'm like, don't just stop talking and get in there. Also, like, Takemichi has big old delusions of grandeur.
He's always yelling
convictions that are with outside of his grasp.
But I think that's his power, though, right? It's just the fact that
it's his power. I'm really good at yelling things I can't actually pull off.
That's his power.
That's his power. Yeah.
Because think about it here, right? It's delusional.
Yeah.
Right? It's so delusional, and that's what the fact that he can't give up.
Yeah.
Right. And then that ends up being the source of hope for people. Right,
bro. You're actually right.
You know what I mean?
You're dead on, right?
And so he just keeps going and going and just it's like, okay, how can you keep going, Takemichi?
Yeah.
What is it that's motivating you? Like, how? Like, why am I not taking these steps like you are? Like, I don't understand. And he's like, and then he just keeps yelling his convictions.
I love that trope. Yeah. To be honest, it's the kind of thing I would normally hate, but I kind of love it in this. Okay, so after yelling his conviction, he just one punch drops Taiju out of nowhere. And everybody is like, whoa, what? Because no one's landed a single hit on him yet. And he hits him and drops him to his knees.
Yeah, it's square in the jaw.
It's crazy. And in this moment, he all fucked up and beaten to shit. It gives this Jesus-level pep talk to Hawkeye, who then basically confesses, like, hey, I lied about everything. You know, we've been taking abuse, but it's always been Yuzu who has been protecting us. I've been saying I was, but it's never been me. You know, we've just been taking beatings, and she's been protecting me all the time. Except... Well, sorry, go ahead.
What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, I was going to say, but now, after the pep talk from Takemichi, he's like, but now I'm going to get in on the fight. Yeah. And he gets in on it.
So, yeah, they weren't both getting beaten. It was Yuzuha.
Yeah, because she was taking the beatings for him. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So they were not sharing that at all. Yeah.
I mean, he probably had a few, but, like, for the most part, she was, like, you know, doing what she could to keep him at bay.
If Hakai was getting beaten by Taiju, Yuzuha didn't know about it.
Yeah.
If Yuzuha knew that there was a beating going on, it was Yuzuha was stepping in.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe there were some beatings behind the scenes. But yeah, Yuzuha ultimately.
Is she older, too?
Yes.
Or is he supposed to be older?
No. So it's Taiju, Yuzuha, and then Hakai. Hakai's the youngest one.
Okay.
Right? Because Yuzuha's whole thing is that, like, she had to become the mother figure. Right, because they lost their mom.
Okay.
Right? And
that's
then,
right.
So because of
that... She's middle. Yeah, okay. She's middle.
Because of that, so she felt the need to, like, protect.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because who else is going to protect?
Speaking of their mom, when Hawkeye finally takes the lead and gets in on the fight, Yuzu has this weird moment with the ghost of her mom.
Yeah.
She gets a little, like, kind of, like, hug from behind and, like, some respect from the spirit of her mom.
Yeah.
Which is odd for this show.
A little bit.
But whatever.
Also... Point it tracks for a Christmas episode.
Oh, okay, sure. it was the ghost of Christmas past. All right, and Takemichi is the ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah. This is Tokyo Revengers, not Godfathers.
Yeah.
Okay, stay on fucking track.
Right.
No, it's fucking Christmas magic, man.
Okay. out of nowhere, after this fight starts going on, Mikey shows up. And everyone's like, who called Mikey?
Yeah.
Nobody's supposed to know we're here right now. We're breaking a truce.
Yeah.
It's a big deal, okay? Mikey steps up and gets punched out immediately. And I'm like, well, he's never really been a tough guy. It makes sense that a punch from Taiju would knock him the fuck out.
Yeah.
Except he immediately gets back up and drops Taiju with a classic Mikey kick.
Yeah.
An intense one. And then Taiju's down and everyone's like, oh, you're here, whatever. And he's like, yeah, and Draken's outside. And they're like, how did you get past all the black dragon? And they're like, we dealt with it. And they open the door and Draken's just sitting on the steps. And the entire army is down.
Yeah. Like, I literally almost imagine Draken just having that, like, post-sex cigarette.
Yeah.
Just like...
yeah. I think he even says something. He leaves by. He's like, what? Like, it's all good.
As if this was a challenge.
Yeah.
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 So funny. And the way all the Toman members, like, run outside with their arms around each other, like, what? How did he? What? Is the cutest little moment they all have with each other.
Yeah.
I love that.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So now the fight's done, more or less, right? Takemichi thinks everyone's alive after Christmas. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which, again, this keeps happening. He keeps going, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out Black Dragon's dunzo. Okay. Yeah. Taiju's, they basically said, like, you're not the leader of Black Dragon anymore. You got your ass kicked. You're out of here. They didn't kill him.
No.
But I don't know why he would choose to just be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm not the leader anymore.
Well, his
one ass kicking.
Yeah. It's his pride that an ego got hurt, right? Like, he's supposed to be undefeated.
Yeah.
Right now he's defeated.
For sure.
And you're defeated by the gang that you had a truce with.
Yeah.
That, you know, also with Takemichi.
Yeah.
it kind of makes you look dumb.
But he even says in the end, like, this is when he says some sort of line of respect about Takemichi as he's kind of walking out of there. And Hawkeye and Yuzuha also, like hit him with some emotional hits as they walk out. She says something to him that, like, cuts him deep, I think. I can't remember I remember it being kind of intense.
Yeah. So I can't remember exactly, but I think it was something about, like, you know, mom still loves us
you're right,
like that. Yeah.
But also, like a lot of the times in situations like with big gang fights like this, the losing gang would very often be absorbed by the winning gang anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So him just leaving, he knows he's not going to have any support or following from the 100 guys who just got their ass handed to them by Draken outside while Taiju was inside fucking playing house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And also got his ass kicked.
He was already losing respect from them anyways, right? Fucking Coco and Inui are like, we don't fucking fuck with you anymore. We're out of here, right?
Yeah.
So he lost everything. He's not going to go back and try and resurrect the Black Dragons now. He has no pull left with anybody.
That's true. You're right,
So I think it makes sense that he walk away for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so after the fight, Takemichi is, like, again, taking the beating of his fucking life, and he's out of it, and he wakes up on the back of Mikey's bike, and Mikey is taking him to see Hinata, and she's basically like, you know, okay, fine, we can get back together. That's how that scene goes.
Yeah.
And we also find out that it turns out the reason Mikey and Draken even show up in the end there is not because anyone from Tomon called them. It's because Hina ran into Emma randomly on the street and was like, Takemichi broke up with me. What the fuck? Yeah. And she's like, do you want me to call Mikey and see if he can see what the fuck's going on? And she's like, yeah, okay, do you want to do that? So then Emma calls Draken.
Draken.
And is like, hey, do you know where Mikey is? And he's like, no, I have no idea. Or sorry, do you know where Takemichi is?
Yeah.
He's like, I have no idea. And then Mikey's like, oh, I heard Mitsuyu's bike a little while ago. I bet you he's with Mikey. And they follow the sound of the bike to the church and find them. It's fucking wild, man. It's ridiculous.
It really brings like this like plot armor, like fucking fate.
Yeah.
The timing of them being at the church right when Taiju was going, and the timing of Mikey hearing the motorcycle and it's a fucking Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yes. It's a fucking Christmas miracle.
Yeah. He's the ghost of Christmas present.
Yeah, there you go.
And Takemichi's the ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because he can go there.
Yeah, and the dead mom is the ghost of Christmas past.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow.
Beautiful.
And Taiju is a fucking Scrooge.
Oh, God.
Totally.
He gets his ass handed to him. He gets his ass handed to him by the three spirits.
Hakai is Tiny Tim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because fucking little...
Yeah,
little bitch.
Yeah,
with his crutches. Might as well be on crutches.
And Takemichi is Bob Cratchit.
Oh my God.
As well as the ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay, so we also get the backstory of Draken and Mitsuya, the twin dragons of Tomon.
Yeah, which
I'm excited. I think we're gonna get more about that going forward. So like. Draken trades like just barbecue he's eating for the painting.
Yes,
that's mine now.
Yeah, I love it, dude.
Exactly.
That childhood mentality of ownership of things.
Draken also has this like doesn't give a fuck mentality. She's like, yeah, you can have my barbecue. I'll have the painting.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
But
he also expects that you honor that.
Yeah. Later on, it shows up. He kind of ends up mentoring him.
Yeah.
And then later on, he sees Mitsuya, and he's got the tattoo. He's like, that's mine.
Yeah.
You can't have
I traded you for that.
And then he also gets it. Yeah. And now they both
realize. They both had it.
I know. We realize Mitsuya also has it under his hair. Yeah. We didn't know that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to grow it out because it's Draken's.
Exactly.
Because you can't show it to people.
You have to grow your hair now.
Yeah. That's mine.
Or I'll kill you.
Maybe I'll kill you, but I'll beat the fuck out of you a lot.
Yeah.
So that was cute. I look forward to, I think, seeing more of the two of them.
Mm-hmm. It was a dynamic you never really got much of prior. And I mean, the more interpersonal relationships they can build within Tomon, I think the better for this.
I'm loving
series.
These one-on-ones.
Yeah.
They're building so many of them, right? It's cool.
Yeah, because you have the whole group and then everybody, it's like just the three of us. We have like our own relationship with just between like Jay and I, and I, and then like all of us or like you and Jay, right? Like, it's all 100%. That.
Yeah.
Yep.
You and Jay and me over here a lot of the time.
Because, you know.
Yeah. All right, so Christmas
we
is
like
over.
To other you.
Yeah. Okay, he's there. Fucking Ebenezer Scrooge. Okay, so
fuck you.
Christmas is over. We get New Year, New Us vibes from Tomon. So we find out Hot Guy is forgiven and promoted.
Yes.
We find out Black Dragon is absorbed, and they've chosen Takemichi as their leader at their request. And I guess because him and Shifuyu are best buds now, Shifuyu is kind of his vice captain.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them
Real quick, at the shrine celebration, we find out Yuzuha's crush isn't Mitsuya, but it's Takemichi.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about the shrine celebration. Yeah.
Anyways, go on.
We find out that...
The gang meeting. Yeah.
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 That was the cutest one, the gang meeting where they take the picture.
That's this one.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We find out Kisaki got kicked out. And a few other members went off and joined him.
We watch that happen, right?
You do watch
that. He breaks down.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
We needed to see that happen for him.
It's so cathartic for me.
Yeah, because he's a little he's still a child.
It's also the last announcement that they make.
Yeah.
Mikey saves it for the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
As the final kind of mic drop.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, just like you just know, like you can just see it on Kisaki's face, like watching Mikey just turn around and just walk away from him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to listen to you.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The desperation in Kisaki, it was just beautiful, man. Yeah. It was mouthwatering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it.
But it's the reason why he goes more psycho and going forward, right? Like,
what?
It's creating more of a villain in Kisaki as well, too.
Yeah, I don't think you can create more of a villain in Kisaki.
You can.
No, wait. He's already so fucking vile.
Yeah. Like, I think he's going to do some awful shit going forward.
Yeah,
I think he's going to do some murdering.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I was ready to murder this kid, even though that he hadn't actually murdered anyone yet.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Murder.
Murder.
All right, so another thing that happens after the meeting, we find out Mikey gives Takemichi the bike.
Mm-hmm.
He rebuilt from the bike his brother built for him, the first bike. Also, it's Takemichi's first bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forgot he didn't have a bike.
Huge deal.
In a bike gang. Wild. So, once again, Takemichi's like, I did it! Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
He screams his thanks to Chifuyu. He yells more convictions. He yells about Baji's last words and how much he believes in them all. And then he goes back to the future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're in the future now. He's not in prison. He's at Mitsuyu's funeral.
Yes.
And I'm like, here we go again.
Yeah.
He didn't fix anything.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry, guys. I keep missing this and like a few seconds late on everything.
Yeah.
Something that was very important about the gifting of the motorcycle was Mikey tells Takemichi a lot about the location that Shinichiro found the engines.
Yeah, in
Thailand. In the Philippines.
Sorry, Philippines. The importance of that, you know, chance finding of those engines and how that was like, that meant a lot to both Shin and to Mikey.
It was like
a
pile of rubble and he was just sifting through metal.
They drew a lot of meaning out of that. It wasn't just stumbling upon some engines. Like, I think it was a very important
thing. It was
spiritual
to them. It was fate, another fate kind of thing.
For sure. Yeah.
It was another Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Okay, so we're at Mitsuya's funeral. We find out Hina is also still dead. Naoto finds him, and here's another, we don't have to get in the weeds about time travel and the memory reset, but Naoto goes, I knew you were back because my memories got reset. And I'm like, how did you know your memories got reset? How did you know you had old memories when you just got new ones?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't fully wipe. It's like updates. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it like born again.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, I definitely think there's some retaining.
And
of,
I guess for Naoto, it makes kind of sense because he's part of the mechanism.
Yeah.
For him, everyone else in the universe blips.
Yes, but right? You know what? The thing about Naoto, though, is that he doesn't go back in time. He's the mechanism that Takemichi goes back in time. So when Takemichi comes back forward, it kind of makes sense that he would get an update.
But why not everybody else? He's the only one because he's part of the mechanism.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to say.
That's what I'm saying.
Otherwise,
everyone else
would be like, weird, my memory's just changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Anyways.
Definitely.
He tells Takemichi, he's like, hey, this is the worst timeline yet. Everybody's dead.
They're at Mitsuya's funeral.
Yeah.
And he's like, all the Tomen leaders are killed.
Yeah.
And it's Mikey.
Yeah.
Mikey, we're pretty sure Mikey's killed them all. He's in the Philippines somewhere.
Takemichi doesn't believe it at first. He's like, there's absolutely no way.
So Takemichi goes to the Philippines, finds Mikey. Mikey confesses, he's like, yeah, I did kill them all.
Well, he got a letter in the mail.
Yeah,
that's right.
The letter said, like, meet me at the spot I told you about.
That's right.
And luckily for Takemichi,
he remembers.
He was told about it moments before, going into the future.
Yeah, this show loves to do that. Yeah, everything's real convenient. He confesses. He's like, everything went to shit. He's like, I killed everybody. I need you to end it. I need you to kill me. But he doesn't. Naoto walks in.
Yeah.
Shoots Mikey in the head.
Yeah, because he sees the gun.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he thinks there's...
Yeah.
Like, Takemichi's about to die.
Yeah.
What an unbelievable scene. I thought, like, just...
Yeah.
It was so, perfectly paced and intense.
Yes.
And the build-up to Mikey literally being on top of Takemichi with a gun to his eyeball.
Yeah, and also...
Shaking, crying.
Yeah.
It was just, like, we've never seen Mikey like this, even 1% like this.
Yeah.
This is... It was just a total, like...
It's peak broken. We've seen a broken Mikey.
Oh,
this is the brokenest.
The brokenest, right? And like I said, I think just the stark difference between the Mikey we're used to seeing and seeing that version of him was
even
just,
aesthetically with the black hair.
It was
hair.
Insane. Yeah. Yeah. It gave me chills.
Yeah.
It was definitely one of my favorite scenes. It was whole season.
And then, just gets fucking capped in the head by Naoto.
Immediately, yeah.
And dies in Takamichi's arms.
And Takamichi's freaking out, rightfully so. And he, in that moment, spills the beans to Mikey about everything. Oh, yeah. I'm a time jumper. I'm going to go back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and fix it.
Yeah.
And he does. He goes back in time one more time.
Yeah.
We're back in the past now.
Well, the other cool thing was, I think, when you really see, as broken as Mikey was,
because you
see his gun had a safety on too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, he, Takamichi was never in real danger.
No. The safety was always on. Yeah.
Yeah. So
weird. Okay. Fuck. So we're back in the past. Takamichi, he gets there and he's like, I don't have a resolve this time. I don't know what to do. And so he just starts punching a bunch of tires. He's like, I'm just going to get stronger. He's punching tires, punching tires, punching tires. And Shifuyu comes up.
Yeah.
He's right?
Like, starts talking.
He's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm punching tires. I got to get stronger. It's the only way. And they figure they need to help. They figure they need to keep Kisaki and Mikey together. They need to keep Kisaki from getting kicked out because there's something about Kisaki leaving Tomon that seems to be the trigger that fucks Mikey up. I don't know what that is. It's weird that they're building in the last episode this little cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I had a theory, and I don't know. I can't remember if it was really implied heavily at the end there, was that Kisaki was also a time traveler.
I don't know if that's ever been implied, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's another time traveler.
Yeah, right? Because that's the only other way that I can see why...
I'm blocking Jay out again.
Hina would be like being killed every single time because she's the most important thing to Takamichi. And so that's kind of what I see.
Maybe.
Also, I really enjoy the fact that like when Takamichi comes back and Shifuyu just kind of plays along with auto Taki. And then it's like, oh, future Taki, you're back.
Yeah, exactly. Hey! Hey, you're back. Yeah. Amazing. Okay, so the last thing that happens is Kisaki meets with this new enemy gang leader in the red outfits.
On the roof. Great scene.
Yeah.
Great scene.
It's a great scene.
This guy.
And it says something. I can't remember if it's a caption or if it's a voiceover or something, but someone says something, and so began the greatest and final conflict in Tomon history.
Yeah, that's
and I'm like, what does that mean? And why is it so dramatic? Yeah. Is it really the last? And the end? And the greatest? What's happening here?
This is the beginning of the end.
I don't know.
This is the beginning of the end.
There's also some other big players on that roof as well. The Haitani brothers from Roppongi who... had a little cameo in the Halloween Baji death fight. They were hanging out in the
sidelines.
There
were a bunch of big gangs. Yeah.
They're the ones with the braids.
The one guy's got
the
two braids, and the other guy's got some crazy hair and glasses. But like those two guys are the head guys from Roppongi.
Okay,
and
I didn't recognize
they're
them.
Up on the roof as well.
Their character design was really good.
Yeah. Like so, but basically you're seeing Tenjiku here. They're from Yokohama. Mm-hmm. But it's not just Yokohama.
Okay.
They've got Roppongi now. They've got They're doing work. They're recruiting. Yeah. They're building.
And they're building and recruiting in order to take down Tomon.
Yes.
That's their goal.
Well, I mean, they come in and just straight up flood the city.
Yeah, and they're beating up Tomon members. We see Akun get beat up. We see Shifuyu get beat up a bit.
Yeah.
And Kisaki is clearly all wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
He's
the big reveal at the end. Just to walk out in the fucking blinding light and just be clad in red and be like, this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Just found another gang.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just need
to
kill him. They just straight up need to kill him.
But they will, and then they'll have to go forward in time and realize it's still fucked and go back in time and he'll just still be alive again.
Well, not necessarily. Because the way the mechanism works
you can never jump further,
right?
You can only jump the same distance, right, each time?
Yeah, it's like whatever day it is or whatever. But, so if you killed him, waited a day, you go back in time, you wait another day, then and then come back into time. Yeah. Back into the past.
I mean, killing him really would do the. It's like you want to travel back, find out to be like, hey, follow me to Kisaki's house.
Yeah.
Stab.
Handshake.
I did it.
So I will say this is I've framed this in a way that I can say this without it being a spoiler.
Yeah.
So I will say at the current point of the story you guys are at.
Yeah.
Okay. When I was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was also very curious about the prospect of a potential other. Time
traveler.
Jumper type person.
Yeah.
And obviously Kisaki, I think, is like the main candidate that
the culprit,
think for that. Because again, he's the only one with that common through line in every variation. What the fuck is the deal with that? And then you think, well, okay, well, what's his mechanism, right? Does he have somebody else that he's using or
someone
that
else
he's
to shake
always
hands with?
With all the time that he could have be his mechanism for jumping? Somebody that he's all, somebody that he's always surrounded by to be his Link, who's seemingly in cahoots with him every single fucking turn. Every, you know, like that was, I will say, without confirming or denying anything that I just said, at the stage
that
you're at, that was definitely my leading theory. At your stage in the game was Kisaki and Hanma, man.
Interesting.
Because I think you can't ignore how much they're together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throughout all of this. And how, like,
maybe it's Hanma.
Oh my God, you scared the shit out of me.
And how, like, you know, Hanma has this seeming, this seemingly weird importance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one who shows up in that future timeline in the bathroom.
Yeah.
After
yeah.
he just put out the hit on Hina, right?
Yeah.
Washing
his
hands.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Like, he's kind of always skulking around. And then he's got those tattoos, Sin and Redemption. Destroy and
yeah, I can't remember.
I forget what the it's not Sin and Redemption. That's a fucking bar in Toronto. Anyway, he's got some words on his hands, but yeah. Anyways, that was just a kind of a little theory to leave in your brain holes.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested.
But then, yeah, obviously the big reveal of Izana here at the end, the leader of Tenjiku, is for those who know, it's a big moment. It's a hell of a way to cap off this season, I think.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
It's so funny. The whole time that we were doing this episode, I was like, who is that guy on the screen?
You don't remember his reveal?
You don't remember?
Not really.
On the roof?
I remember the roof scene. I remember a bunch of guys in red. I remember it was a big deal. I don't remember specifically that. I don't know.
Yeah, they make a really big deal out of his turnaround reveal.
Okay. I think probably when I was watching it, I was also like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to. Yeah, you're not supposed to know yet.
Yeah.
But you'll learn.
Okay.
I promise.
Sweet.
And that's it.
That's it.
We did it.
Dude.
Yeah.
Fucking love Tokyo Revengers.
Same.
Yeah. What do you give it out of 10?
I gave this season an 8.5.
8.5. Nice.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Respect.
Maybe more. I don't know. But like, I'm cemented into loving this show. They would have to do some real left field shit to lose me at this point. Mm. Yeah.
Right on. That's,
yeah.
That's
8.5, 8.7, 9.
That's my
high
job.
Mid to high tier.
You think you enjoyed the season overall better than the first season?
This season was much easier to follow. I feel like I absorbed this season more so than the first season. I wish I had more time in my life because I want to go back and watch the first season real bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like maybe one day.
Yeah. Right on.
Maybe one day I'll read the manga. Who knows?
Yeah.
I probably will. I'm starting to read the mangas of seasons that or animes that aren't quite finished yet.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because I can't wait any longer. And now,
it has an interesting ending.
The whole thing, you mean? Yes.
Before we go into that, that was one thing that was a big commotion in the community when that ending dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the manga community anyway.
And endings...
That happens every time there's an ending to anything. When Attack on Titan
that's
ended,
true.
Yeah. That's all anybody was talking about. Yeah. And that ending was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's usually people with... I'm going to say fucking people with egos who want it to end a certain way. And the fact that they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Right.
They get mad about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's that's not how the author or mangaka intended it to be.
I think what people get upset with, and not speaking specifically here, but it's when things feel like it wasn't in the control of the mangaka. Mm-hmm. When they got rushed to finish something.
Yeah.
Didn't get the time that they thought they would get or got cut short. And now they got to rush an ending to something that they thought they had years for.
They get Game of Thrones.
That happens. Yes. And that sucks. That's never okay.
That would suck. I would get upset about that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. But anyways.
What do you give it, Jay?
I mean, I thought they really did draw out the Taiju thing a little bit too much. That has to minus a few points. So I'll give it an 8.5 as well. I think that's fair. I'd give it a 9 if it was a little more concise. But fuck, yeah, it's really solid. I can't complain. All the big reveals were great. Some really great keyframes of animation made up for the weird off fucking character.
And the weird
other frames.
Voice actor for
Draken. Draken's voice actor sucks now in Japan, but whatever. I guess I'll get used to it.
Yeah.
But anyways, 8.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So same thing for me. Not as far as score goes, but as far as how like the drawn out part.
Yeah.
Mm. I gave it a 7.5.
Oh, you really hated the show, eh?
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it at all.
You didn't hate it enough to not give it two scores.
I said 7.58.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't hate it enough to not give it two scores.
Okay. Okay. And like, so yeah, it's probably
words are hard.
Yeah, it's probably more of an 8. an 8. Like yeah. A little bit lower, just because to me, because it was kind of drawn out and it was a bit more linear. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as exciting to me as the first season.
All right.
Right? Because the first season was so much happening, going back and forth. Like, I don't know. It just kept me more excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's all the right. mouse score, Mikey wants to know?
They don't do that for a season.
They don't do that for a season. Maybe they do. I can't remember. But anyway, we're going to skip that. Yeah, we're not looking it up. Okay, Jordy, where can people find you?
At Reaching In on Instagram.
Nice.
Say hello.
Hello. What about...
Hello.
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 Hello. Jay, where can people find you?
At hanger.91, hanger91.bigcartel.com, and very shortly, my fucking bed.
Say yeah. Hello.
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 It is late.
Yeah. And you guys can find me on ShreyAnimePod on all socials. And on the Discord, TikTok, Instagram. Love you guys. Thanks for showing up.
See ya.
And let's all kill Kisaki.
Yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you.
I will not be participating in any murders.
Participating.
Hello.
Words are hard.
Goodbye.